This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
In 1976, I had the privilege of taking a trip to the Bible lands, and that was a trip of a lifetime. It may be that some of you that are watching now have been there several times, but I've not had that opportunity, only one trip. But I think about it often as I'm studying the Bible and I study about different places in the Bible. But I believe the highlight of the entire trip was the day that after we had seen the ruins of where the city of Capernaum used to be, that the guide took us to the site over the Sea of Galilee on a little slope there, and we were sitting there, and he began to explain that it was somewhere in that region that Jesus sat down and taught the greatest sermon that has ever been delivered, and we refer to it as the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be discussing a series of lessons entitled Moments on the Mount. And in that series, we're going to be talking about the Beatitudes of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and I want to welcome you today, and please stay tuned as we discuss Moments on the Mount. Now, on Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course. And in order that you might know more about the course, we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
No storm can hide the greatest peaceful feeling since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message.
I'm reading today from Matthew chapter 5, beginning verse 10. I'll be reading through verse 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets who were before you. Christians are not exempt from persecution. Now, there are preachers today, if you were to listen to them, would tell you that being a Christian involves no difficulties at all in your life. Everything is going to be okay. But sometimes Christians do run into temptation in their lives. And they run into problems in their lives, and even persecution. As a matter of fact, Paul said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecutions prevailed during the days of the Old Testament period. In the 11th chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus said that the blood of all the prophets, which were from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. There were those who suffered in the Old Testament. And in Hebrews 11th chapter, there are certain Old Testament characters who suffered unbelievably. Listen to what some of the latter part of the 11th chapter of Hebrews reads. They had trial, mockings, and scourging. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments, they were stoned. They were sown asunder, buried alive. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and in the holes of the earth. And then when you come to the close of the Old Testament and in the beginning of the New Testament, in that period between, in that intertestament period, there were cruel persecutions against the Jewish people that they suffered because of their fidelity to the law of Moses and their refusal to embrace idolatry. Jonathan, the high priest in the book of Maccabees, said, "We have no need of human help, having for our comfort the sacred scriptures which are in our hands." And even though that is an uninspired book from which this quote comes, it is a truth that the people suffered and they got comfort from the Word of God. When Jesus Christ came into the world, Jesus foretold how persecutions would come. Well, John the Baptist was beheaded. That was persecution. Stephen was stoned. And James, the brother of the Lord, was slain with a sword. You talk about persecution. Early Christians were persecuted. How do they feel about that? Well, in Acts the 5th chapter, verse 41, they counted it all joy that they were able to suffer for the Lord, for the name of the Lord. That is to suffer persecution. They were not hanging their heads in shame. And if any man suffers a Christian, Peter wrote, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Jesus said, blessed are the persecuted. I don't know of anyone who suffered more for the cause of Christ than the Apostle Paul. Now, that's not to say that others did not suffer, but it just seems as though at least he recorded more of his sufferings likely than others did. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he begins to enumerate some of his sufferings. And he said that he was a minister of Christ more than others. And he said, I even labored more abundantly than others. And he received stripes on his body above measure. He was often faced with death in the very throes of death. On five occasions, he had received 40 stripes, save one from the Jewish people. Three times, Paul was beaten with stones. He had suffered shipwreck. He had been a night and a day in the deep. He had been in journeyings often. He had been in perils of rivers, of robbers, in peril from his own countrymen, from the Gentiles. He had faced perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea. He had faced perils among false brethren. He was in labor, in travail. He was in watchings often. He was in hunger and in thirst often, in fastings often. And he said, I was in cold and in nakedness. But I think I cannot tell you this without telling you the next verse. Besides that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. In spite of all that he endured, he still loved his brethren. And we ought to be willing to rejoice because we're able to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Lambert, I've never suffered. And you say, why should we rejoice? Because we have eternity in view. You see, we need to look beyond our present dilemma, whatever it might be. And we need to look to the future. There are Christians in various places around the world, in various countries and nations, who are persecuted. and they're persecuted simply because of their faith in Jesus Christ and their belief that the Bible is the Word of God. I have read reports from people in churches of Christ in various parts of the world who were captured, some who were killed, simply because they were preaching the gospel. But you know, in America, we're not suffering like that. But the time may come when we are told we can no longer worship, we can no longer preach the Word of God, but let us pray that peace will come to our world, and peace will come so that we can all live together in peace, and that we will always have that privilege and ability to serve God and to worship God and to preach His Word openly before men. But suppose the time comes when we do not. We need to be like those in Acts 5:41 and count it all joy to be able to suffer for His name. And we ought to be honored to suffer for the name of Jesus. Jesus said that we are going to be blessed if we are persecuted. Polycarp is an example that I've heard people use so much, and as a matter of fact, I've used it a number of times in sermons over the years. And he was a Christian. He embraced the Christian religion. And he was told that he would be freed if he would denounce Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to what this old man said. 86 years have I served him. 86 years he had served Christ. And he never once wronged me. How then can I blaspheme my King who has served me and who has saved me? Oh, that brings tears to my eyes. When I think about a man who was willing to die for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of us can't even identify with that, can we? And the reason we can't identify with it is because there's very little persecution. Most of us as preachers cannot identify that because much of the preaching that's being done in pulpits and on television do not even disturb the devil. And if you're going in the same direction that the devil is going in, the devil is going to leave you alone. But it's when you begin to preach the Bible and stand for something that you're going to collide with Satan, and persecution of some form will come. But Acts 14:22 said it's through much tribulation that we're going to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, friends, Christians are misfits in the world. Misfits in the world. Maybe that's the reason Paul wrote in Romans, the 12th chapter, and verse 1 and 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, as a Christian, I'm a misfit in this world. And our life is really not of this world. I've often said that Christians are soldiers of Jesus Christ, and we are fighting in enemy territory. We are fighting on Satan's ground. But many of us go out to battle without our Christian armor on. There's persecution because there is a war in progress. You see, the Bible describes us in 1 Peter chapter 2 as strangers and pilgrims in this world. I'm thinking now of a passage in the book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 20 where we're told that our citizenship is in heaven. Really, you have two addresses if you're a Christian, an earthly address and a heavenly address. And we're looking forward to our home in heaven, our existence there, where we will have eternal life. In the meantime, we're not of this world. And we are engaged in a war. That's the reason Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. And that's the reason he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 4, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I think many of us are asleep. That we're sound asleep when it comes to the reality of what's going on in our world. Let me ask you some questions. I want to ask you a serious question. I've never been more serious in all of my life. Do you really believe in God? Do you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in angels? Do you believe in the spirit world? Do you believe in heaven? Do you really believe that there is a hell, a place where sinners will be tormented forever and ever? Do you really believe that? Well, you said, of course I believe that, Brother Lim. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Holy Spirit. So you believe there's a spirit world. Do you believe in angels? Do you believe that angels are ministering spirits to Christians? Hebrews 1 verse 14. You said, well, yes. So what you're saying is that you believe around us that there's a spiritual realm around us we cannot see with the human eye. And that realm around us, the angelic realm around us, is as real as this little table right here in front of me. It's just as real as it is. But we can't see it. Now then, if you believe that, why is it hard for us to believe that there's not a realm of evil around us? And there is an evil, a realm of evil around every one of us right now. And our battle is against that realm of evil. And Satan leads the charge with all of the wicked angels at his disposal. All of the demons in hell are after us today. Someone said the hounds of hell are on your after you. Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary of the devil is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And he's walking about today. Someone asked the question, is the Satan real? Satan is real. And I see evidence of Satan. I see, if Satan is not real, who is behind all of the greed in our world today? If Satan is not real, who's behind all of the corruption in high places? If Satan is not real, who is behind all of the broken homes? And who is guilty of all of the children that are abused and kidnapped? And all of the children that are handicapped because they're not reared in a good, godly home. Who's behind all of that? There's the evidence that Satan is real. And I know he's real. Because that's exactly what the Bible says. And I don't have to read a lot of verses to you to tell you that Satan is real. One is enough. One is enough. Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion. And he's walking about wanting to chew you up. He wants to devour your soul. He doesn't want you to go to heaven. He wants you to be where he's going. And that's into torment. And he wants you to be lost eternally. He doesn't want you to go into the realm where there you will have the opportunity of partaking of the tree of life and you will have eternal life. He doesn't want that. And he's after every soul. There's a war raging. And persecution comes because when we began to engage our enemy, and he is our foe, and he's bent on our destruction, and he's fighting for your soul, for your eternity. And some say, well, you know, Brother Lambert, you're just all worked up today. Yes, I am. I'm worked up today. Someone says, you seem to be angry today, brother. I am angry today. But I'm not angry with you. I'm not angry with God. I'm not angry with Jesus. I'm not angry with the Holy Spirit. I love them. But I'm angry with the devil. And I want to do everything within my power to defeat Satan. And I know that if we practice these things that Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount that are characteristics of those that are in the kingdom of God, those that have been born again. You know, Jesus talked about how to get into the kingdom, and it's by being born again. In John the 3rd chapter, verse 7, Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say it's optional. He said, it's something you must do. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And isn't that a silly question for a grown man to ask, actually? And Jesus answered that question in verse 5. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. And I believe the Bible is a commentary on itself, and I think Galatians 3:26-27 is a commentary on John 3:5, because he's talking about how we're born into God's family. And verse 26 of Galatians 3 says, for you're all children of God by faith in Christ. And then he tells us how to get into Christ, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ. So that's how we get in the kingdom. And once we're in that kingdom, once we're in the kingdom, we need to practice these things. And if we practice being poor in spirit, and if we are meek and mourn, and if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, and if we're merciful, and if we're pure in heart, we're peacemakers, we're going to be persecuted. You can just mark that down. All of these things are like little steps. And it's like the Christian graces. Besides all of this, adding to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge. You just add one on, and then you add another, and add another, and add another, until all of them are characteristic of your life. And blessed are the persecuted. And once we are persecuted, we are living the Christian life. And it's going to be not an easy life for us to live, but it can be a hard life to live. And I've known of those who suffered greatly, not because they had done something wrong, because they were doing what was right. And Satan wants to destroy us. But there is the blessedness of those who are persecuted. And Jesus said, listen to him, rejoice, here's the good part, and be exceeding glad. That is, if you're persecuted. For great is your reward in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you like that? Doesn't that make you feel better today? You're going to have a better day when you read that. Great is your reward in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets which were before. You're not the only ones ever suffered. That's what Jesus is saying. And so there is the blessedness of it. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. The God of all grace. God is the God of all grace, who has called us and to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Listen to Him now. That after you have suffered a while, what's He going to do after we've been persecuted? Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. In this Sermon on the Mount, in these Beatitudes, Jesus teaches that you rejoice and be exceeding glad. And He learned to love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Someone referred to me one time when I was just a teenager. I was working at International Paper Company. Before I went to college, I would read my New Testament during the breaks that we were given. And they referred to me as the do-gooder. I didn't mind it then. I don't mind it now. And when you serve the Lord, when you do good, you're going to be blessed for it every time. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible today. And I hope this has been a blessing to your heart. And I want to urge you to pick up the telephone right now, call for the free Bible correspondence course. And may I invite you to visit the Church of Christ in your community, wherever you live. If you don't know where it's located, get in contact with us. And I want to urge you again, call for the Bible course. Actually, we have one of the courses that you can receive over with this is being born again. What does that really mean? What does it mean to be born again? How are we born again? Is it what some people say? I want to know what Jesus said, don't you? About every subject, not just this one. Thank you for watching today. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.